Can you hear me? Yeah? Not too loud? Okay, good. It's too loud, let me know. All right, this has got a little tilt to it. Okay, so I don't usually give a title to a message, but I thought, oh well, I'll do it this time. So I would call it, don't just thank the Lord, learn to have a grateful heart. So let's start by looking at thanksgiving as an offering and a sacrifice. And boy, Judy, you just nailed it with that one song, because that's exactly what it was about. Because thanksgiving is an offering and a sacrifice. Leviticus 7, 11 through 13. That's Leviticus 7, 11 through 13. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So I'd like to note the association of thanksgiving with peace, in that it is an offering to the Lord. If we go to Psalm 116, 17, we'll see what David has to say. Psalm 116, 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. David in the Psalms is either being sorrowful or thankful to the Lord. Even when David is sorrowful for an entire psalm, he is thankful in the end and follows up with a psalm about thanksgiving for how the Lord provided in his sorrowful times. He is an example to us and understands the importance of thanksgiving as a sacrifice to the Lord. It is an important part of worship, not just Sunday worship, but our daily worship. So let's take a look at Hebrews 13:15. That was the verse that song was based on. I can't remember the title, but it was the one that referenced thanksgiving as an offering, as a sacrifice. That's Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So in that verse, it's telling us to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Thanksgiving is an offering to God. There's no need to break out the cakes and fire up the altar. But how much easier is it to offer our thanks giving to God throughout the day for that which he has done and that which he has provided, and even for that which we know he will provide. It is interesting how thanksgiving, joy, and peace are often found together in God's word. This is no coincidence. The Greek word eucharistio, which means gratitude or thanksgiving, comes from the root word charis, which is grace. You have heard that saying, say grace. So we're thanking the Lord when we say grace. And it holds its derivative, chara, which means joy. So we can see the association of thanksgiving and joy as well. We even see grace associated with thanksgiving. Grace is a many-faceted thing, as we learned in men's study, and that's just one of them, is that it has an aspect of thanksgiving. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We often desire to know God's will. Here we have it. At least part of it anyways. Rejoice, pray without ceasing, which is a relational mode of prayer. And last but not least, in everything give thanks. Thanksgiving, which is our grace to God, is really the remembering of God's gifts, His grace to us, both spiritual and physical, which leads to peace, which surpasses all understanding. When we celebrate what He has done for us and in us through Christ, we then experience joy and peace, which surpass all understanding. That verse said, in everything give thanks. That is a tough one. But we will spend some time today looking at that. I would submit that we are not even adequately thankful for the small things that God does daily in our lives. That's myself included when I say that. Before we look at being thankful in tough circumstances, we would do well to remember that the Lord knows us and loves us. Now, I will just read these three verses to you. You can write them down if you want. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to go through them consecutively. The first one is Isaiah 49:16. See, I have, and this is God speaking here in this one. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So we're on the palms of His hands. Psalm 56:8, this is, I believe, Paul speaking. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? And then Zephaniah 3:17, that one that I told you last week, put in the bulletin. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Just thought it would be good to remember how much the Lord loves us before we look at that tough one, which is in everything give thanks. And just remember that our name is written on the palms of His hands, right next to the nail scars. He puts our tears in His bottle and in His book. He quiets us and rejoices over us with singing. He knows every hair on our head, or the lack thereof. In those tough circumstances, Jesus, our Savior, is rejoicing for us because He already knows the outcome, and He has already worked it together for good. He doesn't always share why He is allowing it, and we may not know until we are in heaven, and then we may not even care, and that may be the point. Honestly, what would we do if He did tell us why He is allowing difficult things to happen in our life? I do believe we would disagree and have a few ideas of how we would like to see Him handle it. instead of giving thanks. So let's build on the idea of in everything give thanks. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. That's Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That kind of sounds like joy, doesn't it? And we'll take a look at psalms later. That's part of thanksgiving. Ephesians 20 reads, giving thanks always. So now we have, in everything give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, always. It sounds like your husband or wife, right? You always leave the clothes on the floor. You complain about everything. These are exaggerations, of course. And unfortunately, we kind of water those words down. Because in the context of these verses and their true meanings, they're absolute. Everything. Always. All. Those are absolute words, and they're a command from God via the Holy Spirit through Paul's writings. To give thanks in all things, we need to start with giving thanks in the small things. When was the last time you, and again, this includes me, when was the last time you thanked him for clean water? Hot and cold running water. We ran into that recently. Our hot water tank went out. And we take those things for granted, you know. Don't realize it until we're without hot water, just how important, or at least how much we enjoy that. Food stores, not just the meal you're eating, but what about all the food you got in the fridge? Clothes on your back and a roof over your head, let alone salvation and spiritual growth. When we start thanking God for the things we usually take for granted, our perspective changes. We realize that we could not even exist without the merciful blessings of God. Thanksgiving, gratitude keeps us rightly aligned with God, remembering what He has done for us and trusting that He will continue to provide all that we need according to His will. And what is His will? Well, to be thankful, of course. Let's take a look at Colossians 3, 15 through 17. That's Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's that peace again. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here we have thanksgiving and peace together again. Let's look at 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's that grace, our giving grace to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? In that context, it is thanksgiving. Because we really can't give grace to the Lord as He gives it to us, right? It's quite a mind-boggling concept there. And 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, more of those absolute words, and whatever you do in word and deed, to all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we saw in that first verse, thanksgiving and peace. And in the last verse, we saw thanks. But I would submit to you that in 16, there is a whole bunch about thanks. So let's look at that in 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. So psalms are a form of thanksgiving. They are a remembrance of what God has done. David wasn't writing psalms as he ran with sword in hand. He didn't have pen and paper in the other hand. He was actually living them. And when he stopped to hide and rest in a cave, then he would look back upon God's provision and pen his thankfulness. He was remembering. He would write those psalms on his heart and later share them. So in each verse of that, we actually have thanksgiving. We have in 16, again, the psalms and the hymns and songs are a form of thanksgiving. And then singing with grace, that's thankfulness, gratefulness in our hearts to the Lord. So that section of Scripture is just full of thanksgiving, gratefulness, and joy and peace. Remembrance is worship. Remembering what God has done helps us to be thankful, which leads to an attitude of gratefulness. It is kind of like looking at an old photo album or our book of Psalms. As we look back, we are reminded of what God has done, and with a more mature view, we can see even more clearly what God has accomplished through both good and bad times. Remember that God doesn't see it as good and bad. We only see it that way, because he has already worked it all together for good. This will lead to a grateful heart and strengthen our faith as well. Gratefulness strengthens our faith. When we look back and remember, we see how he provided for those times. And if we stop to think with what we're experiencing currently, we can probably look back and see how he provided in a like circumstance. If we just put on the brakes and look back and remember what he did. Let's look at Philippians 4 through 7. Now, most of the time we hear Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and I'll bet quite a few of you know that. Well, we want to back up and include 4 and 5. And we'll see why as you turn to Philippians 4, 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. There's that always again. Rejoice, I'm going to just give a definition here. Rejoice, a biblical definition of rejoice. Rejoice is a deep joy in the Lord's blessings. So let's read that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So important that Paul put an exclamation point and said it twice. Rejoice. Again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here we have that association again in this verse of thanksgiving, joy, and peace. They go together. And it is, as I said, not a coincidence. We find that throughout the Bible, that they go together for a reason, because that's how God created it. We often come to God with a list, and it's not a list of thankfulness regarding prayer. Sometimes we do drive-by prayers, or at least that's what I call them. So try sometime to just pray a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. It's not that you would need to do that every time you pray, but for a little bit of perspective, try it once. We make supplications and requests, as we should, as Tristan taught us last time he spoke. We're supposed to pray for all things. And he told us about prayer or supplications and requests. But we're always supposed to do it with thanksgiving as well. So we make supplications and requests as we should, but do we do it with a thankful heart, having joy and peace that God has already worked together for good, or do we go to him with anxiousness? Do we return in prayer to express our gratitude for how he answered those supplications and requests, especially when it's for others? I mean, it's easy to go to the Lord and say thank you when he did something for me. It brings a change in my life. But what about when you pray for others? Do we go back and address that and show our gratitude? And I think Jesus speaks to that. If we, in Luke, and you don't have to turn there because I don't even remember where it's at, but if you want to look it up, it is in Luke. Remember the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers called out to Jesus to be healed. So essentially they prayed, right? They called out. They made their request. He sent them away to go tell the priests. And as they went, they were healed. But only one returned to say thank you. I imagine he was pretty hurt. Giving thanks to God keeps our hearts in right relationship with him and saves us from a host of harmful emotions and attitudes that will rob us of the joy and peace that God wants us to experience. So I'm going to do an object lesson. But being that I can't juggle, you're going to have to imagine it. Somebody might get hurt. So the idea of juggling is you take three objects and you launch one into the air and then the other one and the other one. And let's imagine that we have thankfulness. I throw that up in the air and now joy and peace. And they're all up at the same level. That's how juggling works. But when my thankfulness drops off down to here, my joy and peace drops down to here too. And if my thankfulness drops down far enough, joy and peace go rolling across the floor. Now, it would have been a much better object lesson if you could have actually seen it. But I think you get the idea. When we purpose to thank God, regardless of what comes into our lives, we keep anxiety and bitterness at bay. We cannot be both thankful and anxious. We cannot be both thankful and bitter at the same time. It's not that we are grateful for tragedy, but we can be thankful for who God is. Even in the midst of tragedy, he sustains us and gives us strength to endure. An attitude of thankfulness builds a heart filled with gratefulness. Gratefulness builds awareness of what God is doing and helps us to be more attuned to noticing his blessings. Don't just tell God thank you. Tell somebody that God is good. Share your psalm with them. Then you will be praising God, uplifting and encouraging your brothers and sisters, spreading gratefulness, joy, and peace. And our last verse today is Psalm 50:23. And this one is God speaking. Psalm 50:23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Thanksgiving, praise, and gratefulness, that is our offering that we take to the altar. We walk away with joy and peace. In closing, we should not worry about achieving greatness, but rather gratefulness. Then we might better experience God's greatness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you give us much to be thankful for. Help us to learn a grateful heart so we can be in right relationship with you and behold the joy and peace that you have intended for us. Help us, Father, to push away anxiety and bitterness, and to make way for your joy and peace, which surpasses all understanding. May we remember that these things are all made possible through Christ Jesus, our Savior, and to be thankful for all that he has done in our lives as we trust him. Help us not to hinder the work that you desire to complete in our lives. We thank you for that transformation that you continually make through his work. And we pray this in his awesome and powerful name. Amen.